This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The world describes Jesus in many ways. Some call him their Lord, their personal Savior, their friend. Others call him a great moral teacher, a fraud, or even a myth. Well, in this crazy mixed-up world of ours, if we are to stick close to Jesus, we need to know who he is. We will learn the answer to that question in today's message, so please stay tuned.
How would you answer this question? Who is this Jesus that you profess in the Apostles' Creed? What's so special about him? Stay with us and find out how to answer that. We begin this service in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we begin our worship today with praise, because you are worthy of our praise. You have given us a gift of another day of life in your world. Most importantly of all, you've given us a Savior, Jesus, to rescue us from sin and death. And so we praise you and we give you thanks for your grace. Amen. Our reading for today is taken from the first chapter of Colossians, beginning at verse 15, talking about Jesus. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's the head of the church. He's the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust him. Precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that he is with me, will be with me to the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him
doing a little series these days called Keeping Your Head on Straight in a Crazy Mixed Up World, because it can be a crazy mixed up world. We live in a world when good is called evil and evil's called good, and there's all sorts of crazy ideas being passed around. How does a Christian keep his or her head on straight? We're using Paul's words to the Colossians, who are living themselves in a crazy mixed up world. Seems that never changes. And the core text of the whole letter says, the beginning of keeping your head on straight in a crazy mixed up world is to stick with Jesus. That was our text last week that we looked at, our theme, stick with Jesus. So now we need to be able to answer the question, well, okay, who is this Jesus? Because people have formed some different ideas about him that could turn your head and get you going in the wrong direction. Recently, I heard someone say Jesus is the most controversial individual that ever lived. Some love him and worship him and follow him. Others hate him and reject him. Still many others ignore and disregard him altogether. And I would add to that, and still others try to add and supplement to who he is and what he has done, and altogether give us an inaccurate picture of Jesus. Some people in the world would say he's a great moral teacher. Others would say he's a rabbi that went crazy. Some of us would say he's the Son of God. Someone else might say he's a very interesting prophet. Others cry out he's a fraud, a lunatic. We unthinkingly in the church use cliches or churchy language, religious shorthand, so to speak, that can be very confusing when we're talking about Jesus as my personal savior or Jesus is my friend. There's some pretty watered-down language that's used in church circles to describe Jesus. And those outside the faith just scratch their heads at us and ask, what do you mean by that? That doesn't make sense. I remember not too far back, I had a conversation with an attorney on the elevator of a huge corporation here in the Twin Cities. And when he found out I was a pastor, his immediate response to me was, said, you believe in Jesus? I said, yes. And he said, I don't see how some dead guy on a cross can make any difference in my life and how anyone can buy into that stuff. It turns out Jesus always has been controversial. And such was the case with that little congregation he refers to as the Colossians. There was some very unhelpful information being passed around about Jesus among that congregation by some who consider themselves super knowledgeable and a little more in touch than anyone else with God. And what they were doing was they were shrinking his status, downsizing Jesus, and causing confusion amongst the congregation. What people wondered, well, am I saved or not? And they were turning heads away from trusting only in Jesus for their salvation. It's in response to that that Pastor Paul wrote this letter encouraging them to stick with Jesus. Keep your roots deeply in his soil, he said to them, and in him alone. Christ is all you need. And in today's passage, he reminds us that Jesus is bigger and greater than what you might be hearing from those so-called spiritual gurus of the day. Each week in our worship service, we say in our Apostles' Creed, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. Well, what do we mean by that? Our passage in Colossians gives us some solid answers to that question. First of all, the passage tells us that he's God, God in the flesh, that this Jesus is huge, big. Paul says it this way, he's the image of the invisible God. The word image is the word icon, which is a way of talking about a portrait. If you've seen him, Jesus told his disciples, you've seen the Father. He brings to us and reveals to us not only a portrait of what God is like, but the character of God as well. We're told that he has made God known to us. To look at Jesus is to see the face of God. He also says he's the firstborn of all creation. It doesn't mean he was born. It means it means that he ranks first is why that term is used. He's above all things. He's ultimate. He's supreme, preeminent. He holds a special place above all things in the creation. In fact, Paul goes on and says, he is the creator. In him and for him, all things were made, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers. All things were made natural and supernatural, is what Paul is saying, by Jesus. All things have been created through him, he says. I'm reminded of John's gospel at the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things came into being through him. He's the creator. He knows, then, the implications of this is he knows what makes you and me work, and what makes relationships work, and what makes life work. He ought to. He invented us. And he goes on to say all things have been created not only through him, but for him. All things were made. It's all moving towards him. It's as if Paul is saying he owns it. He lays claim to it. And not only that, he sustains the whole creation. It says, Paul says in him, all things hold together. He keeps it going. And then he moves on to say, and he's the head of the body, the church. He is the authority over all of us within the church. He rules. And he goes on, because he's the firstborn of the resurrection, which is Paul's way of saying, again, he's supreme over all. the resurrected. His resurrection is a prelude to the final resurrection. Jesus himself said, "I am Mr. Resurrection. I am the resurrection and the life." And then Paul just summarizes it with this statement, "For in himself all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell." And there Paul says he's talking about the power and the presence of God resided in Jesus. His miracles and his teaching caused people to wonder and his disciples to worship, because eventually they realized they were standing in the presence of God. So what Paul is basically saying in this first part of this passage is that Jesus is the creator, the ruler, the sustainer, the owner of the world. He's the ruler of the church, and he is Lord of all, supreme over all things. I love that quote by C.S. Lewis, in which C.S. Lewis says about Jesus. He says, "A man who was merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or he would be the devil of hell. But you must make your choice. Either this was and is the Son of God, or else a madman, or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us." Jesus is so much bigger than so many give him credit for. Paul says he's supreme over all. Hang on to that. That's gospel truth. But then he goes on, he says, "That's not all, though. Let's look at what he did for you. The rescue that took place, that Jesus accomplished." He says in the next verse, "Through him, God was pleased to reconcile all things to himself by making peace through the blood of the cross." We were alienated from God and lived as his enemies because of our sin. Have you ever alienated someone by something you said or did? Sometimes we do that with people. Scripture tells us that we've done that with God by our sinfulness. We've made ourselves to be enemies of God, far away from God. And there needs to be peace between God and ourselves. How do we have that peace? We can't make it happen by ourselves. The gap between ourselves and God is as wide as the Grand Canyon. It needed to be bridged in order for us to be saved, to be forgiven of our sins. God provided the bridge, that cross where Jesus took our sins upon himself and paid for them. At that cross, Jesus took our deserved punishment upon himself. And a bridge was created for you and for me. Paul describes it this way. You, Colossians, those believers, consider themselves believers in Jesus, trying to encourage them to continue believing. He says, "You, he is reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before God." You, he has reconciled. That word reconciled means brought together. It's a relational term. God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. The Good News Bible, I think, puts it this way. God was in Christ making friends with the world, reestablishing the relationship. He was creating a bridge. A bridge that all of us are invited to cross in faith as we receive Christ. And as we receive him, through him we have a new status in God's sight, Paul says. It makes us holy, which is a way of saying we're set apart for him. We're special in his sight. Makes us blameless, without blemish, cleansed in his sight. Irreproachable. It means that I've been exonerated of everything that I'm accused of. I now live as unaccused because Jesus took care of all of that for me at the cross. And God raised him from the grave and affirmed that great sacrifice for our reconciliation that first Easter. That's what we call good news, which is another way of saying the gospel. That's the gospel truth, Paul says, that saves you. Don't move from that, he's saying to them. That's what you need to hang on to when you think about Jesus. He's saying, so stick with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Keep your hope and your confidence in Jesus, who he is, and what he has done for you. Trust him alone for your salvation. And build your life on his promises. And rest in the security that he offers you, staying continually focused on that cross. He says, this is all yours, provided that you don't shift your hope to something else. Don't shift your trust, your confidence to anybody else but Jesus Christ. At one point in this passage, the Apostle Paul says he's all these things he's done that he might have first place in everything. Not only do we trust him with our whole heart, but we give him first place in our lives, in our families, in our marriages, in our professions, in our ministry, in our time, in our conversations, in our play and in our pleasures, in what we watch and what we read and what we listen to. We give him first place in our worship. That's the response the gospel calls for, to place our trust in Jesus Christ and give him the central place in our lives, in all aspects of our life. And that we stick up for him when others run him down and they're talking about him. We point them to that supreme Jesus and say, he's the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by him. I will not compromise on that. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, it is a crazy and mixed up world. And here's our message for today from the Apostle Paul as he holds up that supreme Jesus made in the image of the invisible God, preeminent, supreme, who has reconciled us to God himself through his suffering and death and resurrection. The message is stick with that gospel. Stick with the gospel. Stick with that gospel till your dying breath and don't let it go. And that's how you keep your head on straight, Christian, in this crazy, mixed up world. Amen.
Truly, I.
Lord, it's obvious from today's text that Jesus is supreme and Lord of all, and that it would be unwise to not give him first place in our lives and trust him with our whole heart. Help us, Lord, to keep Jesus at the center of everything we think, say, and do in this crazy, mixed-up world. And if there's anyone that's listening today that needs to bend the knee to Jesus, come home to him, by the power of your Spirit, nudge that individual towards that Savior who suffered and died and rose again to save each one of us from sin and death. Amen. Now, as you go on your way, may Christ go with you. May he go before you to show you the way, behind you to encourage you, beside you to befriend you, above you to watch over, and within you to give you his peace. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We pray today's message will help you to stick with the gospel even to your dying breath. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit, listener-supported radio ministry. In order for us to better know our listening audience, we invite your response to the program. If this program has touched your life in some way, please write or call us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. You can also email us at cc@naz.org. That's cc@naz.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. Be sure to check out our website at christiancrusaders.org. Estate gifts, large and small, have become a significant part of our ministry. Please consider a final gift to your favorite ministries as a part of your estate planning. We thank each of you for your gifts and your prayers. CDs and printed copies of today's program are available free of charge. However, a gift of any amount to help cover production and mailing costs is always appreciated. Please address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Well, you're happy you chose to worship with us today, and we invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station. Conducting our service was the Reverend Steve Kramer, Senior Pastor of Shepherd of the Valley Lutheran Church in Afton, Minnesota, and radio speaker on Christian Crusaders, now in its 78th year of continuous Sunday worship broadcasting.